So we're in the middle of the Gemara, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, a rather complicated piece of Gemara. Let's quickly remind ourselves. Rav Sheshes differentiated between somebody who is a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, as opposed to somebody who is a Toya B'shikul Hadas. If he's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, then it is Chayzer. What does it mean it's Chayzer? The whole thing begins again, and the Din is not a Din. It's a Mefurash, a Mishnah, or a Brisa, or a Gemara, or a statement in the name of Amaroim, the Dayanim should have known better. In the event that they didn't, the whole din is scrapped, and Keilu, it never happened, and you start all over again. That's case number one. Case number two is when there's a Tolz B'Shikul Hadas. A Tolz B'Shikul Hadas, which the Gemara explained, means that it was not explicit. Rather, it was a Machlokes, and he took sides, and Paskin, like one of the two opinions, when it turns out that that's actually not the general consensus of opinions. So in that case, we say that the halacha remains and the din Torah is not scrapped. The dayon may have to pay back for his error, unless he's a mumche, as we'll see in the Gemara, but the din is not chayzer. So this is always the very important rule to remember that Rav Sheshes was mechadish. If a dayon makes a mistake, is the din chayzer? If he's a toy b'dvar mishnah, it's chayzer. If he's a Toba Shikradas, it's not Chayzer. Now, what was the question we have? Rabbi Simon of Halton Kop, as we said yesterday. What was the case? Rab Tarfin paskened about a certain type of para, that it is a trefa. The rechem, the womb, was removed, and he said it's a trefa, and you've got to give it to the dogs, and that's what they did. The Chachomim in Yavne then said, actually, it's not a trefa, we can prove. Behemoths like this are being exported from Mitzrayim the whole time, and it seems to survive, so it clearly indicates that actually it's not a trefa whatsoever. So, if it's not a trefa, you should not have paskened what you did, and what a great shame that you told them to throw it to the dogs. So, Reb Tarfin was extremely upset and said, fine, I guess I've got to sell my donkey now to raise the funds to buy a new para. To which Rabbi Akiva said to him, and this is the critical line, why do you have to pay for his porah? You are a mumcha. And a mumcha has a special status for reasons we will not go into now, but even when he makes a mistake, he does not have to pay. So why are you all so upset? Because you've now heard the behemoth is not a trefa, and you think to yourself, oy gavalt, I'm now going to have to pay. You do not need to pay, you're a mumcha. That was the end of the story. So why is that a big question? Because Rav Hamnuna asked Rav Sheshes, I have a question on that story. The halacha of this para happens to be a mefurisha mishnah. It's a mefurisha mishnah in Chulin that says that when a para has its womb removed, it is kosher, it is not a trefa. Which means, therefore, in the final analysis, that Reb Tarfin was a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. How that could possibly be, by the way, is a discussion in the Rishonim. It seems mind-boggling to think that Reb Tarfin wouldn't know a Mefurish Mishnah. But either way, so it seemed to be that Reb Tarfin was a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. So if he was a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, what did Reb Sheshes teach us? What is the halacha of somebody who's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah? The whole day in his chayzer. The whole, then you go all the way back to the first base. You're back to square one. So why did Rabbi Akiva say to Reb Tarfin, you're potter from paying because you are a mumcha? Why didn't he simply say, you're potter from paying because let's go back to square one. Nothing has happened. A Toya B'dvar Mishnah is chayza. And if a Toya B'dvar Mishnah is chayza, so surely that's the reason you don't have to pay, because the psak din was not a psak din. That was the Gemara's question. Now, obviously, in parenthesis, we immediately have to add, and Rashi does, that the Gemara's question is a rather bizarre question. What do you mean it's chayza? They've given this para to the dogs. It's gone. So you can hardly say that the din should be chayza when the para has already been consumed. So the Gemara will discuss that in a moment. But either way, if the halacha is Toya B'dvar Mishnah Chayza, so once a Toya B'dvar Mishnah is Chayza, so what happened with Reb Tarfin? Yes, he paskin, the animal is a trefa. But it turns out that he's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, incredibly. And if it's a betayim b'dvar mishnah, the halacha is that the whole din is chayzer. But if the whole din is chayzer, well, then obviously you don't have to pay. So why did Rabbi Akiva say you're exempt from paying? Because you are a mumche. Why didn't he say you're exempt from paying? Because the whole psak din is cancelled. That was the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara, this is what we left off with. And that he said, you're right, I meant to ask that as well. It was a double whammy question, what the Gemara called choda va'oid. It was a 1+1 question. In fact, the first question was so obvious, he didn't even state it. And what he meant to say was, firstly, you're a toya b'dvar mishnah, therefore the whole din is chayza, your psak din has no validity. That question didn't even bother asking him because it's so simple. All he added was, even if in theory it would have been a tos b'shikol hadas, which means that the din is not chayza, but you'd still be exempt from paying because you're a mumcha. So that's what he meant to ask. What he meant to say was that number one, you're a toya b'dvar mishnah, therefore the whole din, the whole psak has no validity. Number two, anyway, you're exempt from paying because you're a mumcha. That's where we left off with yesterday. So we are up to now on the first wide line, on the first very wide line, Omer Rav Nachman. Says the Gemara on the end of the first wide line, Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava. Now the Gemara is going to address the question we asked a moment ago, that how can you talk about a din being chayza when the poro has already been given to the dogs? Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, I might employ your usage of your art scroll in a moment. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava. My ka moisiv Rav Hamnuna l'Rav Sheshes mi poro. What was Rav Hamnuna asking exactly from Rav Sheshes in the case of the poro? Surely poro, this cow, the cow they had already given to the dogs, velesa, and it's no longer around, the tahader, that it can be returned. Remember, what is the halacha moirai v'raboisai of a toya b'dvar mishnah? It is chayza. The din is chayza. Well, you could hardly be machzir a poro that's been consumed. So how can Rav Hamnuna ask Rav Sheshes, oh, this case is a toya b'dvar mishnah, so surely the halacha is chayza? What do you mean chayza? The poro is gone, dead and buried. So what was the question? Says the Gemara, I'll explain to you what the question was, and it's a little bit of a complicated answer. I'm curious as to how does Rabbi Artscroll explain this. Says the Gemara, Hachi ka omar le. What he meant to ask was a rather involved type of question. He meant to ask as follows. E omrat bishlaima. Everything would be fine and dandy if to'o b'dvar mishnah eina chayza. What he meant to ask was, if to'o b'dvar mishnah would not be chayza, you, Rav Sheshes, maintain that to'o b'dvar mishnah is chayza. Fine. I would understand if the halacha was that to'o b'dvar mishnah eina chayza. It's not chayza. The din is upheld. And if you paskin that a porah is a treif, even if it turns out that you completely made an oversight and you missed the Mefurisha Mishnah, nonetheless, the din remains. If that were to be the halacha, remember, if she's just told us it's not the halacha, it's chayza. But this is exactly what the questioner is saying to him. Were it to be that toye b'dvar mishnah einoi chayza alma, what would that be teaching us? Come dinner, that the din stands. You said that the din does not stand. That's what you said. You said the toya b'dvar mishnah is chayza. My question to you is, says Rav Hamnuna, if toya b'dvar mishnah is not chayza, which means come dinner, the din stands. So if the din stands, what does that mean? That this animal is now, as it were, rendered a treifa. Aino de kom mefchid Rabbeinu Tarfin. So now that's why I understand. The Reb Tarfon was deeply upset because I have now paskened that this guy's cow is a trefa. The din stands, and it's going to have to remain as a trefa. And I'm the one who caused this animal to be lost, and that's why the Ka'omale Ihu, and that's why Rabbi Akiva responded to him and calmed him down and said, "I've got good news for you, Mumcha lebezdin ata. You are a mumcha, and therefore the ata potter milashalim. A mumcha is potter from paying." So then we would have understood the whole conversation. We would understand on the one hand that Reb Tarfon is very concerned because I was the one who caused the animal to be rendered a trefa, and that din stands. So surely I have to now be held responsible. To which Rabbi Akiva then calms him down and says, "Not to worry, you're a mumcha."
That's
Omra.
all in the world of Eino Chozer.
And well, this is the kasha. If you would hold Eino, this is all Rav Hamnuna's ammunition. If you would have only held Eino, which means the din remains, so your psak now stands, so you have now caused, as a result of your mistaken psak, this animal to be rendered a trefa and that cannot be retracted. So I understand that you're very upset that you've now caused this and you thought you have to pay, to which Rabbi Kiva responded, "Actually, you don't because you're a mumcha." Omrat ta bidvar Mishnah choizer. Now this comes the kasha. But according to you, Rav Sheshes, who said that what? That a toya bidvar Mishnah is choizer. What does that mean, choizer? That means that the din actually does not stand. Lay malay. So why didn't he say to him, one second, what would have been the case had this parah still been in existence? Unfortunately, it wasn't. It had already been given to the dogs and it had been consumed. But were it to be in existence, what would be the halacha? It would be restored to its original owner, kosher v'yosher. We start the din all over again. So, kiven de'ilui havoi parah. If the parah would have been here, what would we have said to him? Dinach lav dinah. Just put some water in. Dinach lav dinah. What would we have said? Had this cow still been in existence, even though you paskened it was a treif, but toya bedvar mishnah is choizer. So what would we have done? We would have said, stop, pause, don't throw the cow to the dogs, give it back to its original owner, and it is kosher v'yosher. So what would I have said? Says the Gemara, kiven de'ili havoi parah. If the parah would have been here, dincha lav dinah v'loy klum avadato. So the din is not a din, and you haven't done anything. The fact that you rendered this cow as a treif is all totally irrelevant. It was a toya bedvar Mishnah. Had this cow only still been with us, it would have been restored and everything would have been restored back to its original place. In other words, the actual psak halacha, when Reb Tarfon announces, Moirai v'Raboisai, this animal is a treif. At that stage, at the moment that he paskened it's a treif, what's happened so far? The answer is nothing. It's a toya bedvar Mishnah, and the parah would have been sent back to the original owner, and it would have been considered kosher. So the actual psak halacha has not in and of itself caused any damage because it's reversible. It's reversible. What happened? Unfortunately, the owner of the cow then went and gave it to the cows, gave it to the dogs. So, in the long term, in the final analysis, who is the one who caused the damage? Is it Reb Tarfon's psak? Or is it the guy who threw it to the dogs? The answer is the guy who threw it to the dogs. Because the psak itself was reversible. The psak itself did not vadai make it a trefa. if you hold that Toya B'dvar Mishnah is a chayza. Therefore, that's what he should have said. Had the para been here, what would we have done? We would have given it to the owner and nothing would have happened. Loi klum ovadato. If that's the case, hashtanami. So therefore now too, even though it did go to the dogs, nami loi klum ovadato. You also haven't done anything. Because a toya b'dvar mishnah is chayza. The actual psak, therefore, is reversible. And now we understand Rav Amnuna's kasha to Rav Sheshes. Again, Rav Amnuna asked Rav Sheshes if Toya B'dvar Mishnah is Chayza, so then just restore the case. The Gemara says, I don't understand what you mean. You can't restore it, it's been eaten. So the Gemara has now explained the kasha. It's true, technically, the animal's been eaten, it can't be restored. But who is the one who's considered to have committed the damage? Is it Rav Tarfoy? After all, he was the one who paskened this halacha. The answer is no. That psak in and of itself did not cause damage. How do you know? Because had the parah still been here, it would have been restored. So you see that the psak itself did not definitely confirm this parah as gone. Therefore, even though now, unfortunately, they did give it to the dogs, but Rav Tarfon should not be held accountable. That was the Gemara's kasha. Rav Larry, yes.
Couple of problems for me, because I'm not so smart. Number one, if it's lo chozer, right? And I psak that halacha.
Then it's a done deal.
It's a done deal. But the point is, but if I...
And had it been a done deal...
If I psak halacha...
If indeed it's a done deal, then whether or not they have yet thrown it to the dogs, but it's a vadai trefa, finished. It cannot be retracted, and Tarfon, therefore, he's the one who's caused the damage.
Yeah, except for one thing, that if it's a psak halacha and it's lo chozer, that means I didn't make a mistake.
No, that's not what it means.
Is there such a thing as a psak halacha that's a mistake, but even though it's a mistake, we're going to keep the halacha? I made a psak halacha. There are psak halachas that are mistakes?
That's exactly what we're saying. It's a psak din that cannot be removed.
And then it's not a mistake.
It is a mistake.
I don't know.
It's negative mishnah. The halacha is that there's no recourse. The halacha is that it's no recourse. You cannot overturn a psak that Bezdin have made. It's negative mishnah. Toya B'dvar Mishnah, fine. So the dayon would have to pay for his mistake. That's true. But we cannot overturn the din. That's the discussion. Rav Sheshes says you can. We're challenging that.
And now the second thing is this. Isn't it obvious that the only reason as the owner of the animal is that I gave it to the dogs because you paskened it was strafe? Had you not paskened the strafe, I would never in a million years have given it to the dogs.
But that's called groma. I'm only chayav for damages when I actual damage you. But when I caused you to damage, that's a groma. Even though
what about lifnei iver al tein michshol? Like you.
Lifnei iver is only when you're over an aveira.
I understand, but it's the same concept. The Torah is concerned about how you influence
it. Maybe you mustn't cause somebody to be over an aveira. Here, I just cause you to pay. Very unfortunate. But you cannot say, now there's Rabbeisa, this is, but like I said to you, it's a complicated Gemara. It's a very, very deep yesod. It's a very profound concept. When the Dayan paskens halacha and he makes a mistake, is that considered that he's damaged the animal or not? And the answer is, it depends on whether Toya B'dvar Mishnah is Chayza or not Chayza. If you hold Toya B'dvar Mishnah is not Chayza and the din has to remain, so for that damage, that psak has damaged the animal because it's non-reversible. It's non-reversible. But if you hold, and this is the Gemara's kasha, if you hold Rav Sheshes that Toya B'dvar Mishnah is Chayza, and had the cow only been here, we would have saved the day and restored it, so the psak din in and of itself did not cause damage. Like Rabbi Larry points out, of course, the poor fellow only threw it out and gave it to the dogs because of the psak. But the psak itself was not binding. Could have been reversed. Have a look at Rashi. Alma, says Rashi, kom dinam, kloima. What does it mean, kom dinam? Ma, she, hoira, hoira. that which he paskened, he's paskened the inami issa kamon. And even if the animal would have been in front of us alive and well, lo yehodra miskashra, you would not be able to re-kosher it, because kom dino. So then, hainu, that's what he says, the omalei, di lav de mumchehi, have a boy shlumi. So then you would have had to pay because your psak is binding and you have caused the damage. But now that we say that it's chayza, so lav klum avadata, de iuhu da afsida nafshei. Because the owner of the cow, he's the one, unfortunately, he's the one who's now got the final say in his hezek. Sheishlicha leklovim, he's the one who threw it to the cows. But you didn't cause any damage because your psak in itself didn't do anything. But my psak, that which you paskel ola shem treifus. Why? Why did your psak, is that not considered to be a direct damage? Because as you only wanted to restore it, Hadrat, you would have indeed restored it. It reminds me, by the way, of an incredible psak din I heard recently in the name of Rav Nissim Karelit, Zechet Tzadik Levroch. And Aloch was, the case came in front of the Beis Din, but there was a certain elevator in a building which clearly said on it, it can only take up to 5 passengers. One person got in the elevator, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then a 6th person got into the elevator. And indeed, on its way up or way down, the elevator broke and damages were incurred. So the psak, the shaila came to Nissim Karelitz. So who has to pay? Do all 6 people have to pay? Or maybe only the 6th person has to pay? Maybe the last person who came into the elevator, he's the one who has to pay. After all, without him, everything would have been fine. Which, by the way, sounds very, very similar to a Gemara in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara talks about 5 people sitting on a bench happily, and then a 6th person comes and he joins them, and then the whole bench breaks. Who has to pay? Is it the last fellow because it was his extra weight that broke the bench? Or no, his weight by itself would not have broken the bench, so therefore his weight only broke the bench together with the other 5. So when they came to the Beis Din, they were discussing whether this elevator case is like that case. Said Rav Nissim Karelitz, you're completely wrong. It's nothing to do with the 6 people sitting on a bench. So they asked him, what do you mean? Who has to pay in the case of the elevator? Is it the 6th guy? No. Does everybody have to pay, share the cost, split it up into 6? No. So who has to pay? So he said, you know who pays? The guy who pressed the button to start the elevator going. 6 people entering an elevator, that itself does not break the elevator. It's only when it's in motion and it has to now transport their weight. So the guy who pressed the button, we need to go to floor number 17. And as a result of that, the elevator now had to carry these 6 people. He's the one who caused the damage. Therefore, it's no shaychus whatsoever to the 5 people sitting on the bench. 5 people sitting on the bench and the 6th person came to the bench. Well, that damage is immediate. But in the case of the elevator, until they pressed the button, what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. So the guy who pressed the button telling the elevator to go to a particular floor, as a result of which the elevator now began transporting this overburdened elevator, that's what caused the damage. An incredible upset. So this is very similar to Al Gemara. When Rav Tarfa and Paskin of the animal is a trefa, that at that stage has not caused any damage. That's still reversible. Then you threw it to the dogs. Fine. Now you finished off the pot. Okay, we have a couple of minutes left. Let's now begin the next line of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rav Chista Omar. Now we know, whenever the Gemara says Rav Chista Omar, not Omar Rav Chista, it's not the beginning of something new. He's clearly giving a different answer. So what is he giving a different answer to? So look at Rashi. Rav Chista Mahadar Le'el. Rav Chista is going back to the previous Gemara L'Shanuye Masnisa to answer up the Braisa, which says Don Esadin, etc., etc., etc. Right at the top of the Omet. If you remember, how did we begin this whole sugya? We began this sugya because the Mishnah says that dine momonos machzirin can be overturned. And yet in the Braisa it says, dones adin, once they've paskened the din, it's all over. Whether they were mezakeh the chayev, mechayev the zakai, that's it. Masha osui osu, you cannot overturn the din. The Mishnah says you can, the Braisa says you can't. What's going on? So we've had various tirutzim. There's a mumcha, not a mumcha. The last teretz that we had, and that's the one we've been discussing, is it depends what type of mistake. Is it a toyba dvar mishnah? Is it toyba shikol adas? Rav Chista is now coming to suggest another teretz. Have a look at Rav Chista. Says the Gemara. Rav Chista Oma. Kan shenotal v'nosan beyad. Kan sheloi notal v'nosan beyad. Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate that with yours?
Here in the Mishnah in Bechoros, the case is one in which the judge took the money with his hand from the one litigant and gave it to the other. In that case, his erroneous verdict may not be reversed.
Whereas Kan, the Mishnah, right?
Kan shaloi notal v'nosan beyad. But here in our Mishnah, the case is one in which the judge did not take the money with his hand from the one litigant and give it to the other. He may then reverse.
Right, so therefore that's the difference verdict between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah that we're talking about that says that it can be chayzer, that's talking about that he did not literally take the money out of the hand and pay it. Rather, what happened? He paskened the din, and they followed his psak. Have a look at Rashi. I'm towards the end of the narrow lines. Nosa v'nosan biyad, if he himself took the money out of the hand and gave it to the other party, that's what the Mishnah Bechoris means, or the Braisa. Ma she'osoy osu. What's been done has been done. But loy nosa v'nosan biyad, but if he didn't take the money out, elo sivul abaldin. He was just mitzave, he paskin the loch, he commanded the Baal Din to do so. And then he followed the psak and took money out of his back pocket and gave it to the other party. So then, machzir hamomoin mizeh, shekibloi, he would therefore have to put money back, that which he received, lezeh shenosnoi, and restore it back to the one that he gave it, the one who gave it to him. Why that should difference should make, why should that make a difference? Be'ez Hashem, we'll see tomorrow as we continue, and Be'ez Hashem get to the bottom of the yard. Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody. Ready?